'n gesonde spysverteringsstelsel is nie net belangrik vir jou algehele gesondheid nie, maar beïnvloed ook jou geestesgesondheid en veral jou vel. In die podsendingreeks gesels Dr. Vanessa Lappener, 'n dermatoloog in Seepunt en stigter van die Root 4 velsorgreeks, met Marula Media oor die direkte verband tussen 'n ongesonde spysverteringsstelsel en velprobleme. In die eerste episode gesels sy spesifiek oor die 5 algemene stappe, oftewel die 5 R'e, wat gevolg word om die spysverteringsstelsel te balanseer en herstel. Dokter, dit blyk dat spysverteringsstelsel gesondheid nou op almal se lippe is, maar wat presies behels hierdie term?
So, I think that a lot of people when it comes to gut health are in the functional medicine world are really referring first and foremost to like the principle of the 5 R's. But it's a popular concept, you know, when it comes to gut health. And basically, it's the process by which you start to heal the gut. So for example, if you're having symptoms of bloating or pain or irregular bowel movements, or which are obvious, right? Obvious that there's something going on in the gut. But then there's the more, the more subtle or less obvious clinical signs, for example, like here in my case, I'm a dermatologist. I work in an integrative dermatology practice. And so patients are presenting to me with signs that their gut microbia are not happy. And that means that they're presenting with signs of skin inflammation, which basically is like a feedback loop. And I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit later. And they always are very taken aback when I say to them that unless there's very specific cases, that first and foremost, we're going to treat the skin inflammation. But at the same time, you really got to look at root cause. We've got to see why this is happening, why your body is inflamed. And that really all starts with the gut.
Dokter, jy verwys na die 5 R's van spysverteringsstelsel gesondheid. Sal jy dalk asseblief 'n bietjie uitbrei daaroor?
Yeah, so the principles of the 5 R's are number one, that you want to remove anything that is kind of like allergenic to you. And this is going to be different. It's so personalized, really going to vary from person to person. But remove any kind of dietary elements that are stimulating inflammation in your body or that are impacting how permeable your gut lining is. It could also be not only food that you're sensitive to, but beyond sensitivity that you become intolerant to, and when you then develop antibodies to that food. And it also means removing pathogens in the gut that shouldn't be there. So if you think of the whole microbiome ecosystem that are sitting in the gut, they're there and they're finally balanced. I think of like the bacteria on our body, because they're tens of trillions of them. We actually half bacteria. We're walking around like walking petri dishes. And there's this amazing balance between the gut bacteria, the skin bacteria. We've got bacteria in our oral cavity, bacteria, even like a specific little ecosystem in our belly button. Like every part of our body has like a unique microbial profile. And what happens in the gut when it becomes imbalanced and you get too much of one bacteria or yeast or fungi, and that's when you start to get symptoms like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth syndrome, and people that have halitosis and bad breath, and that's when you get the bloating and increased flatulence, and those kinds of issues are showing you that your microbial are not happy, they're not balanced, and we need to correct that. It also means taking away other factors like environmental stresses. Because when we're stressed and anxious, that can also affect the balance of our gut microbiome. And then once you've kind of removed everything that could be exacerbating the problem, we then want to replace with what should be there in the gut. And this could also be not only the bacteria itself, but it could be digestive enzymes. Now, remember that the microbiota actually regulate our immune system. That is like, if I had to narrow what they do down into one sentence, they are regulating our immunity. And if they even are producing hormones, they are digesting certain of our foods that we do not have the ability to digest without our own bacteria. And so when we are replacing, we're also replacing things that they need to function properly. And that could be things also like digestive enzymes, if our bile acids are not working optimally, are we missing any kind of supplements in terms of vitamins, minerals, fiber, things that we need to feed, macronutrients that feed our bacteria, all those kinds of issues. And we can either do it from a kind of food-based approach where we can stimulate our own enzymes to work more efficiently and our whole kind of bile system to work more efficiently, or we can do it through supplementation. And that even how we are cooking our food is going to impact how all these processes are working. And once we've replaced and all now we've got all the enzymes in place, our kind of we're not introducing anything inflammatory into our bile system, we go to the third R, which is where we actually re-inoculate the bacteria that we want to be in the gut. And again, are we going to do this through a food-based approach where we can supplement with prebiotic foods like kimchi and sauerkraut and kombucha and everything that's going to reestablish the healthy balance of microflora in our gut to have like a more desirable balance of our intestinal microbiota? Or are we talking about supplementation with specifically lactobacillus or bifidobacterium, and we can look for certain strains within the probiotics that we are buying. We can also get prebiotics, which are the substances that feed our bacteria. And then now there's a whole world of postbiotics, which are the products that our bacteria make, which are also very beneficial. And then you get the symbiotics, which are the combinations of various like pre and probiotic kind of approaches. And then you also look at various other foods like fiber. Our gut bacteria loves fiber, specifically soluble fiber, like from leeks, garlic, onions, and they ferment them into these short chain fatty acids, and they really make them work optimally. So the introduction of soluble fiber into our diet is so critical when we are trying to re-inoculate a healthy gut profile within this kind of microbiota ecosystem in the gut. And once we have kind of all the bacteria there now that we want, we look at the actual lining of the gut as the fourth R, which is repair. We need to repair the gut lining. And often on my patients' groups, because I work with an integrative nutritionist and a functional medicine doctor in my practice, I will see lots of L-glutamine. I'll see lots of recipes for bone broth and all these kind of hydrolyzed collagen, all these kinds of supplementation where we can help to repair the gut lining for our patients. There are also certain nutrients, vitamin A, vitamin D, zinc, L-carnosine, that are very important when we look for nutrients for GI repair and healing. And then we also things that can support what we are secreting on our mucous membranes, because we want that whole system and that whole kind of lining to be completely healthy. And that's the plantain and polysaccharides and things that encourage mucus formation on the actual lining of the gut. Aloe vera, slippery elm, these are the kind of things that you might see. And all the nutritional anti-inflammatories play a big role here. Omega fatty acids, you want your ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 to be in the right ratio so that it's anti-inflammatory rather than pro-inflammatory. And then all the nutritional antioxidants and polyphenols and quercetin and curcumin and vitamin E and all those kind of good nutrients that we encourage our patients to be taking, both from diet, and if the diet is not sufficient, we supplement. And then the fifth R is rebalance. And that it's actually fairly new that this kind of fifth R is coming to play. And this is really what does the patient need to do to rebalance their lifestyle that have been contributing to this imbalance within the gut. And it's an attitude. It's a healthier way of eating. Are you mindful? Are you sitting and eating your meal? Are you chewing and not just wolfing your food down kind of in your car on the run, which is what I was totally, that was what I did. Is breakfast was like grabbed on the way, whatever I could holding one hand while I was driving with the other hand, energy bars, like all the wrong things. We need to be sitting, we need to be chewing, we need to be mindful, and we also need to rebalance other aspects of the systems which contribute to a healthy digestive system, like our hormones. Are your thyroid hormones in balance? Because otherwise, if you have hypothyroidism, that's going to reduce your transit time and through the intestinal system, which also results in the SIBO system, the small intestinal bacterial overgrowth system, where you have a malabsorption and inflammation, constipation, which also leads to increased glucose, impaired insulin sensitivity. Also affects our estrogen metabolism, because if our transit time is slowed down, we're not detoxifying properly, we're not getting rid of the estrogen that we need to through our stool, and that all has enormous impacts on the skin, obviously. Most of my patients coming in with acne, that's what we're looking at specifically. And then lastly, psychotherapy, working on stress management, sleep hygiene. Are you, looking at moving your body? Are you looking at supporting your adrenal system and making sure that your cortisol levels are not sky high? Amino acids, you can actually eat yourself happy. There are certain nutrients that can increase your dopamine, increase your serotonin, and the happier you are mentally has a complete direct effect on your gut health.